And are you thankful for amazing grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How many needed God when he found you? Amen. You were in a mess, but Jesus Christ, his mercy and his grace came to where you were and rescued you. Amen. I appreciate the Lord today and the spirit of worship that is here. And if you have your Bibles, would like to turn to the book of Hebrews, third chapter. I want to read 2 or 3 verses of scripture. Good to have Kyle visiting with us again today. Two Sundays in a month. That's a record. Mama's happy. I'm sure that she's prepared a big dinner and McDonald's. Going to Big Mac land. Praise God. Are you happy to know the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews, the third chapter and the first verse. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That's a mouthful. But say, consider. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. One more verse. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Our salvation today is because of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. Amen. What he has done for us. And I want to talk about it for just a little bit here today. And for a title, I'd like to use the title, The Greatest Hero Ever. The Greatest Hero Ever. God bless you. You can be seated. The world in which we live has a knack for creating what is known as spin. Placing spin on things, creating a false sense of reality, creating a false value system, and putting it out there as if that it is most important. I had a friend a number of years ago. He's still my friend. A number of years ago, just to give you a brief history, and as I was preparing this week, I kept thinking of stories. So I may be a storyteller today, but they'll all be true. He had a rough childhood growing up in the state of Illinois. Parents separated, didn't have a lot of affirmation from his mother and from his father. And he didn't really know how to do a lot, but in the process of time, he learned how to fish, became a prolific bass fisherman. And probably one of the most knowledgeable men that I have ever personally, well, no, probably. I fished with FLW pros before. This guy was at the top of the game. He understood how a fish responds, how a bass fish responds. And he, in the process of time, figured out that if a jig, those of you that have ever fished for a bass, you may know what a jig is. Similar to a crappie jig, trying to include everybody. He figured out that this jig, if it were formed in a certain way, it would be advantageous to catch fish and to not get hung in the rocks so much. So he created a jig known as the Terminator jig. And if you ever been to Walmart, you can look on the shelves of Walmarts and you can see a Terminator jig. It's now put out by a company called Strike King because it became wildly popular, and Strike King bought his patent for the Terminator jig. He made that jig, And he shared with me his testimony as later in life he found the Lord. And he's actually, you wouldn't remember, but several years ago he visited our service here on one Wednesday night. He said that, my dad never made me feel real special. And when I learned how to fish and when I made the jig and when I started to become successful, all of the fishing magazines started wanting interviews. And all of a sudden, my picture was in the interviews, and they were writing the story of my life and how I was the greatest fisherman at the top of the game and so forth and so on. And he said, I got caught up in that so much that it literally obsessed me. Because when you've never had any identity and you've always felt like an outcast and all of a sudden everybody wants you, all of a sudden you feel like that you're the hero. And our world has put that definition on a hero. Some of you may remember, some of you, Brother Hollis and myself, I did that to wake you up. You were nodding off. True story. My wife, myself, and Brother Hollis, probably the only ones that would remember several years ago. We were still in the Kleeman Community Center having service when a man named Ricky Phelps, you remember Ricky coming to sing for us one Wednesday night? Ricky Phelps and some of his buddies formed a music band that were known as the Kentucky Headhunters. Now, how many have heard of Kentucky Headhunters? And they had this song that they wrote about a little store that was down the road from their house in Kentucky that was just a little country grocery that was owned by a man named Dumas Walker. And they wrote this song, you know, Let's Go to Dumas Walker's. How many have ever heard the song? It's audience participation. Thomas, you've heard it, and I'm impressed. Let's go to Dumas Walker's. It reminded me of a little store in West Tennessee down at Frog Jump called Jiggers. And just a little country grocery where the farmers could go in and they could get a burger. And Ricky said that they would go down to this store, the boys in the neighborhood, the young men would go down to this store and they would get what they called a saw burger, some fries, and a bottle of ski. And he said our fans all thought that it was short for whiskey, but it wasn't. There was a soft drink that he sold down there at Dumas Walker store that was called ski. And so they'd go down there for a burger and some fries and a bottle of ski. And I wrote this little song about it, and it became the top song in country music for the year, and they won a Grammy off of that song, Let's All Go Down to Dumas Walker's. In country music, it don't take much lyric. You know, I mean, where does the inspiration come? For I'm just sitting out here watching airplanes. It doesn't take much inspiration to write a country song. In fact, there is a apostolic preacher that is a country music songwriter. You won't know him by name because he hid his name. And he wrote his country music under a pen name. He's written several hits down in the state of Texas. And he said that every time he's depressed about his congregation, he writes a country song. Became his subject material. True story. But Ricky, he told a story that night. It stuck in my mind when he was here singing for us. A long way from a screaming audience of 5,000-10,000 people in a coliseum somewhere to a little meeting room in the Kleeman Community Center with 15 people. He sat there and he sang for the glory of the Lord, and he gave his testimony. He said, "You know," he said, "I remember distinctly standing on the stage that night, receiving the Grammy for the Song of the Year." And the thought flashing across my mind, is this all there is to it? Here I am at the top of the game, the top of worldly success and worldly fame. Everybody knows who we are. And yet the question came to his mind, is this all there is to it? And he made this statement that really just it was something that I only heard once, but it lodged in my brain 13 years ago. He said, I climbed the ladder of success all the way to the top of the building. And when I reached the top rung, I realized the ladder was against the wrong building. Pretty profound, isn't it? Everything that I strived for, everything that I reached for was not exactly what that I thought that it was going to be. And I realized later in life that I had spent a lot of energy trying to create something that was not. But the world that we live in looks at that kind of person and says, that's a hero. Kids buy T-shirts. He said it was not uncommon for us to sell 2,000 T-shirts a night and split up the cheese after it was over. Selling T-shirts, their name was out there. And you know, people buy posters and put it on their kids' walls. And kids buy posters of singers and movie stars and sports figures and all this kind of thing. And they esteem them as some type of a hero. And society even considers them to be such. Several years ago, the race was going on between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa to see who could hit the most home runs. And back and forth it went, and one of them would lead by one, and one of them would lead. And then finally, as you know the story, at the end, McGwire set the record, broke Hank Aaron's record to be the guy that held the home run record for a few years there. And there was a man who wanted McGwire's autograph so bad during this era because McGwire had become his son's hero. And he followed him home. He staked out the stadium until the game was over, and he followed Mark McGwire to his apartment in St. Louis. And when he got out of his car, he jumped out of his car. He said, Mr. McGwire, I want your autograph for my son because you're his hero. Mark McGwire looked at him and said, I am a baseball player. You're his dad. You be his hero. Pretty profound. The whole picture of heroes in the world is skewed and messed up. The hero that I'm talking about today, and even by definition, is someone who, in the face of danger and adversity, displays courage and self-sacrifice to advance a cause or to save a life. Someone who looks at adversity and looks at danger, and yet courage rises up on the inside of them, and they're willing to sacrifice themselves so that the cause or that a life can be saved. A hero is a person who will run into a burning house and pull a baby from a house at the peril of their own life. It's the person who jumps into swift waters to save a drowning child that is about to be taken away for the last time. They risk their life. They peril their life. Someone who's seeing another person in peril and unable to help themselves says that I myself will step into this situation and I will be a difference maker. That, my friend, is a hero. That is a hero. And while I could tell many stories and the internet would be full and the newspapers would be full of people who hazard their lives and at times even lose their lives trying to save someone else, they are deemed as heroes and rightfully so. But the greatest hero that we have is found in the scripture. I'd like to take a moment this afternoon and introduce you to the legendary Jesus Christ. Christ, the greatest hero of them all. He is the greatest hero of them all. Job described himself as somewhat of a hero in his writing as he makes his appeal for why he should receive favorable attention. He said, I delivered the poor when they cried, and the fatherless, and him that had no one to help him. I stepped in and delivered. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I would cause the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness. I clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor. And yet in all of this, Job is what is known to us as a mortal hero, because despite his good acts and despite the things that he did well and the latter blessings that he received in life, in the end of it all, Job died, and all we have is a story to tell. The thing that separates Jesus Christ from all the other heroes of society throughout the age and throughout the scriptures is the fact that he is an immortal hero, which means that he is still alive today, and he is still putting himself in peril today to bring about the change that we need in our lives. He is our hero, the legendary Jesus Christ. Isaiah would have much to say. He said, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? That this is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like to him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people there was none with me. For I tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation to me, and in my fury it upheld me. The passage is a follow-up there in 63 on the 34th chapter of Isaiah, when it was describing the type of judgment that was going to come against the enemies of the Lord. In chapter 34, it talks about that land of Edom, that last enemy that would be destroyed and put down. And he uses that parallel. Who is this that cometh from Eden, having avenged the physical enemies of Israel? Now he is stepping into a spiritual realm and a spiritual word picture of what is taking place and what is about to take place when Jesus Christ will come and will suffer for our sin and be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And he uses that word traveling. Now, there were a couple of men here in the church that did some high-speed traveling last night. And so this picture becomes clear to them of what I am talking about. For a while, I owned a Corvette. I've only had one in my life. But when you got in it and you put the gas to the pedal, it would suck you back in the seat. Yes, you were going forward, but you felt like you were going backwards. And this picture that is drawn here of one that is traveling, one that is moving, is really a picture of a person that is traveling in greatness of his strength. And it's a word picture of a person that is running with such a reason of speed that his forward momentum is drawing his head back as he is running. And it says, who is this that cometh from Bozrah? He is coming in a hurry. His driving is like the driving of Jehu. He's in a big hurry to get where he is going. This picture is drawn that God was coming onto the scene in human form, and he was coming with speed to avenge us of the sin that for so long had held us back. There's not a person here who was created in innocence. All of us were born into sin, and we were shapen into iniquity, and we needed a Savior in our life, and Jesus Christ was that Savior for us. When he died on the cross, we have a hero today, and his name is Jesus. He is my hero. The psalmist, or rather the writer of Isaiah, would say, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. He was despised. He was rejected of men. A man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities or our sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Your sin that demanded death in your life was spared you by a superhero. Someone who would put his own life in peril to save yours. He was taken to prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. And yet for some reason it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. And therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He is the greatest. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. My friend, when it says that he bare the sins of many, those many are whosoever will. Let them come. Sister Andrea, if you would come today, not that you're one of the transgressors, I need your help. But I'm thankful for what the Lord did for me. He did for me. And because of that, a portion with the great has been ascribed to him. Jesus Christ, the legendary Jesus Christ, is my superhero. As we stand together today, a few years ago, the kids came out with something, or the marketers came out with something to get your money that your kids just thought they could not live without. Superheroes. And there was a little kid's song that was written, a religious song. Jesus, you're my superhero. We're not going to sing that. I don't know all the words. Had all these motions with it. That's kind of how I feel today. Because when everybody else says we've gone as far as we can go, we've done all that we can do, there's no more hope, there's still hope. And off in the distance, if you could picture in your mind, God Almighty, Brother Roberts, just a booking it. Who's he looking for? Where is he going? He's coming to help you. He's coming to help me. He's coming for our benefit, because he is the greatest hero that's ever lived. Let's lift our hands to the Lord today. Hallelujah. I know that we've already had prayer, and I know that people have been touched here in this place today. But I'd like for us in closing today just to lift our hands to the Lord and thank him for being who he is. God, we love you. We honor you today. We give you praise because of who you are, because you are our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you put yourself in harm's way for us so that we could have hope, so that we could have strength. You were wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. God, you took a horrible beating. because of a situation that we were in that we had no way out of. God, you jumped into the swirling waters. Your hand reached farther down than we could reach up. God, you ran into the burning fires of hell and pulled us out. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to you, Jesus. I'm thankful to you, Jesus. Praise God. I commit to you today, Lord, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth alone. Sing it. To be like Him. All through life's journey. Let your voice out, sing to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. To be like Jesus. Oh, thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your involvement, God. On this earth I long to be like Him.
To be like Him.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. All through life's journey, all from earth to glory, I only ask, oh, to be like Him. God, we thank you today. We thank you today for your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Hollis, would you pray for us today? Dismiss us in prayer.